Morning. I know everybody's thinking, maybe thought David's going to be up here, but you know, God has a different way just playing things out just in our own lives when we don't even know what's happening. You know, he's behind the scene on things, you know. And I told Jason Wednesday evening when he had, I don't know what brought it to his mind to teach on Joshua 3. No idea. But I do know why, because I texted him and said, I've been studying Joshua 4. And then we get out today, we're in Joshua 1. I just want to praise the Lord for that, because that's the movement of God behind the scenes that we don't even realize things until it's, sometimes we're in the miracle and we don't even realize it. We get upset with things sometimes and we say, Why is this happening? And we're going to get to that, because a lot of things I question, why is this happening? And then all of a sudden, you can see it on the backside of things, because God says, hey, like Paul said, the light bulb turned on. I think the Holy Spirit said, boom, there it is. That's a song, isn't it? Maybe I better stay off of that. But we're going to be in Joshua chapter 4. And first, you know, they taught about how God transferred Moses to Joshua to lead the children to the Canaan land. And now Jason had taught on they was crossing the water, okay, and how they did that. And that's first I'm going to start on chapter 4. And it's just going to be maybe a lesson in history, so to speak. Because I continue to ask the Lord, where are we going with this? Because I have no idea until I was drinking coffee yesterday at 9 o'clock on my front porch. And the Lord said, you're looking at it. And I just want to praise the Lord. We're going to it here in a minute. And it's about a memorial. It's about a place in your life that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's been a place in your life that you could go down in your memory to see if ever you've been born again. You could go down through there. I can't go down there for you. You can. And I'll probably repeat that because I went ahead and put my notes out because I didn't want to forget anything, because I have a tendency to do that. You could ask my wife. Amen. Joshua, please stand. Joshua chapter 4. We'll read the first 7 verses together, or I will read them. And it came to pass, when all the people went clean past over Jordan, the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye then, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of to the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this atmosphere. Thank you so much for everything you continue to do in our lives, this church. And we ask you right now, Lord God, and anoint my mind, my heart, and my lips, Lord. Be with the ones that's got to come out this morning, Lord. Maybe this one that's listening by radio, maybe in the car, Lord. Give them a blessing, Lord. Bring us back to the next appointed time, Lord. But let me get out, Lord God, what you have in my heart, Lord. In Christ Jesus' name that I do pray, and amen. What is a memorial? It's something, especially a structure established to remind people of a person or an event. We do that when people pass away. We put memorials up. And like the cross, Jesus died on the cross. We have this up here so we could maybe visualize that Jesus died on the cross. And the person that has been born again would understand that. And we have to, as individuals, try to remind people or bring them to the light of Jesus Christ. We celebrate Memorial Day as two official United States holidays recognize the commitment of members of American military service. Memorial Day honors those who lost their lives while defending their country. It's a Memorial Day, something like Dave mentioned today, his anniversary of 59 years, that when he went to Paris Island and then transferred the NOM. That's something he remembers. And I hope that as I get done with this, as the Lord puts on your heart, and I can continue to talk and let this get out, is the memorial in your heart, the memorial that bursts up and continues to flow, that we could continue to help win souls for Jesus Christ. Again, I told you that I was going to give you a snapshot of a little bit of a memorial and walk you down through what Christ was baptized. In Matthew 26:13, about the memorial, verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. It was a memorial, something that she had done for Christ that's going to be continued to be talked about. Acts chapter 10, verse 4, and when ye looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up before a memorial before the Lord. So now we come together at Joshua and these 12 stones. Why is he going to put him there? Why did God have him put him there? And it was told to be a memorial for them to put them there. Joshua took 12 stones from Jordan River and constructed a stone monument on the side of the promised land. 12 stones were taken from the wilderness area and placed on the dry riverbed. These were covered by water after the people crossed the Jordan and the river returned to the normal conditions. The monument of stones of Israel's side became a visible marker for the future generations, reminding them of great miracle of crossing over the Jordan. Now, there's been a place in your life, a memorial, or a place when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Somewhere down the line, either you have or you haven't. And I'm going to switch to Jesus, but we're going to stay a little bit in the Old Testament and go back to the New. And about 1,500 years later, the same spot, near the same spot, Christ arrived to be baptized by John the Baptist. Jason taught about that Wednesday night. And also taught about the names, how Joshua took ancient Israel and crossed the Jordan River. The Hebrew name of Joshua's, in the Hebrew name, it's like Yeshua. And then Jesus is Yeshua. In Joshua's day, the waters were rolled back to the city of Adam. That's interesting, isn't it? To city of Adam. Our sins was rolled back when Christ died on the cross all the way back to Adam, all the way back. Now, it was just something that maybe it's just thin there. It's just like when Alita was testifying, she said when the spear hit Christ, blood and water come out. First thing that come to my mind, you must be born again. And then he commands you to be baptized, blood and water. That's something that I remember. Now, if I had never read, if I've never been born again, if I've never been baptized, if I've never read the scripture, I would not know that. Because it's a memorial. It's something that's in me, only through me is by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's all. The Holy Spirit brings things to my remembrance. And I praise the Lord for that. And if someone reads out of something other than the King James Version, my light comes on. That's what it does. Because I read and study out of the King James Version. That light comes on me and says, that don't sound right. Let's go see what it says, actually. You know, John, when John baptized Christ, he came to all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remissions of sins. And it symbolizes what Christ, when he was baptized, why did he need to be baptized? And again, I'm not even preaching yet because I am just talking. I'm just giving you some history because he didn't break out, like I said, not till Saturday morning. We ain't even there yet. But Christ was sinless. Okay. He was sinless, had no need to repent and be baptized. The meaning of Christ's baptism, however, may be indeed more to the transferring of priesthood from the temple of Jerusalem to the new Melchizedek initiated through Christ. Because you couldn't be priest and king in the Old Testament. You could only be king or priest. You can't be both. But on Melchizedek, he was both priest and king. So it says in the New Testament, I don't know if I got that wrote down. I might find it here in a second. But it also says that Christ was after the order of Melchizedek, okay? And under the old covenant, when a priest was preparing to transfer his position, again, we're talking about Christ being baptized, the same place Joshua took the individuals over Jordan. Under the old covenant, when a priest was preparing to transfer this position and authority to his firstborn son, a priest's firstborn was hereditary. The threefold rituals occurred. In Exodus, the high priest's firstborn was ceremonially purified in water. Baptism. The high priest's firstborn had anointing oil poured upon his head. Holy Spirit coming down on Christ. And the high priest announced was his son to be publicly to confirm before the people. And Christ said, "This is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased." That was the announcement. That was the order of the law of the being a priest. In the New Testament, Christ arrived at the Jordan River to be baptized by John, whose father was serving as a priest in the temple. As Christ baptized in the water, the Holy Spirit descended upon him to be anointed for ministry on God declared to his son, whom he is well pleased. As Christ's baptism, God was transferring the priesthood to the descendants of Aaron and the Levites to his son after order of Melchizedek. I'm not saying that word right, but you know what I mean. Romans 8:34, Who is he that condemneth? Is Christ that died, yet rather that he risen again, who's even as the right hand of God, who also making intercessions for us. So he's a priest making intercessions for us. In the old days, he would go into the temple and put blood on the mercy seat. And we all agree, if we know that Jesus Christ died for us, we know that he's making intercessions for us. He's sitting at the right hand of God. We know that by Stephen. When Stephen looked up, he saw Christ standing at the right hand of God. But he will be transferred to King of Kings when he returns to rule on earth. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had name written that no man knew but him, but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the horse, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, with its he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierce and wrath of Almighty God. And he that is vesture on the high name, thigh, a name written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He'll be coming back that way. He's priests and kings in our lives. If you have that, if you've been born again and you know that, then you have that memorial in your heart, that knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ covers your sins. And you know, in the Bible, the Old and New Testament, how many times remembrance is in there? 253 times. And I could look up either verse, whatever, it was still 253 that the continued remembrance is in there. And I was typing this away yesterday when people was there, and I'm thinking, Lord's not missing, because I can't stop. I just have to keep going. You know that on Friday evening, I had a little incident. And I thought, I was going to do some brush hogging. Everybody likes brush hogging, right? Unless you get into some areas you shouldn't be in. It's like being a Christian sometimes. Maybe you're in an area maybe you shouldn't be in. You don't realize that till you get there, right? Amen? I was brush hogging a little close to the edge of a small hill or ravine. Try to spell that word. My front tire got pinched and the air went out of it. I tried everything to take my bucket, and you guys know how it is. You got a bucket on the front, you take it up, take it down, you turn, you spin. You do nothing but you're digging yourself deeper in a ditch. Same time we do that. We get in the edge of life, we're not paying attention, we get our eyes off the Lord, like Paul, like Peter got his eyes off Christ when he was walking. Come, bid me to come, Jesus. He bids him, and he takes his eyes off because he knows he should be sinking if he does not have his eyes on Jesus Christ. Same way with us. If we don't have our eyes on Jesus, we're going to go somewhere else we shouldn't be going. So there it was. I'd put my bucket shoving me one way and the other. No relief, just the tires spinning. And I could hear air continue release from the front tire. I thought, well, I could keep going. You know, we do that as Christians sometimes. I could just keep going, forget about it. Maybe it'll fix itself. It don't work that way, does it? Amen? So I'm only 50 yards away from my house. Then I thought, well, I'll tear the tire up if I keep doing that, and they're pretty expensive. You just like sin, you know, you could go down a far way with sin, and you'll think, well, it's just another $20, it's another $100, but you've got a pile of money back here. You've got a pile of sin back here. I could have tore the rim up. It's hard to tell what I would have tore up if I would have kept going. So what are we supposed to do? I stopped the tractor, got off, pondered for a minute, and I prayed. No one listens to you. I pray. How many of us today, we pray? We pray, don't we? Okay. There's two parts to that. I prayed, but I didn't listen. That's what I did. I prayed. I didn't even get mad. Normally, I'd get mad. There's something going on here, and I'd have no idea. Normally, I'd get mad. What happened? Why did I do that? I know better than that. We've said that as Christians sometimes. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't even been here. I shouldn't even said that. I shouldn't, whatever it might have been. You know that walk with Jesus Christ, you know that you should have not been somewhere you shouldn't have been or said some things you shouldn't have said. And this is where I'm at. Again, I prayed and asked the Lord for help, which I never waited on, Lord. I just prayed. And we do that sometimes. I went and got the generator. I'm going to get a generator. And put air and get an air compressor. That's a quick fix right there, right? I'm laughing too, by the way, whoever else is laughing. The generator, first then, air compressor. Of course, the air compressor falls out of my side-by-side. I had it strapped in. It falls out, breaks, but the bungee cord's strapped, so I'm thinking, well, at least I had it strapped in, right? Sometimes we think we're strapped in and we're not always strapped in. Or we're strapped in or engaged in the wrong thing. All this is rushing through my mind, sipping coffee on the front porch. I'm going to bungee cords now. I picked up the air compressor, and it was okay. The generator started right up. I'm on a roll. You know. Greg taught one time about Saul thought, well, that must be from the Lord. Not always the case. I plugged in the air compressor. threw the air hose over the hill. I went down over the hill and attempted to put air in the tire. I was trying to hold the tire upright. You know, you're in a V like that, and I'm down in that V, and I'm holding that tire, you know, and I'm putting that air in there, and, you know, nothing's going in. Have you done that as a Christian sometimes? We're reading, studying, all of a sudden, I'm not doing something right there. I'm not holding myself. I'm not in the right frame of mind. I'm not doing things correctly. What it might be, I'm not doing things truth in the Spirit. Amen? We need to do things in truth in the Spirit of the Lord. Be engaged, mindful with the Lord. I was not. I was calm, which I thought was godly. But not so much. Again, I wrote down, just like trying to fill gaps in our sin in our life, like Adam and Eve trying to cover up their sin with fig leaves. I was trying to put everything I can around that rim. When it breaks that rim from the tire, you know you have an issue. Air just didn't come off. No, if there's a gap in our armor, devil's going to get in. We know that. There's sin in our life, we need to get it out. We have a mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. We need to ask for forgiveness. So, of course, I tried everything I could. So, it flowed in the tire. It come right back out. It was completely unsealed from the rim. Sometimes, like when we backslide on the Lord, we get disengaged. 2 Chronicles 7:14, hear it all the time. If my people, who's called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked way, I will heal them and heal their land. We hear that all the time. But we don't ever heed to it. After a few tries, I decided I would have to take the rim off the tractor. Man, that's another hard thing to do. Taking sin out of the circumstance. Just because you leave that circumstance, the sin's still with you. As I'm taking the tire off, all kind of things going through my head. I wish I'd just stayed in the open field. Amen? I wish fly was like eagles. Amen? I wanted to just stay there. Trying to get some. I was too close to the edge. And we do that sometimes. Or if I would just weed-eated, stayed off the tractor. Or if I would have gotten too close to the edge. That sounds familiar sometimes, huh? I'm not going to read today. I'll read tomorrow. Something up comes up tomorrow. I'll read next day. I didn't pray about that because I prayed about something else. I'll wait till tonight when I say my prayers before I go to bed. We need to stay engaged with Jesus Christ all the time. Paul says, pray without ceasing. All the time, so be mindful. Like Patty talks about when she testifies. She testifies more better in her sleep, better when she's laying in her bed than she does right now. Amen. I could verify that because I could preach better when I'm sleeping than I can right now. I don't know why. It's just what it is. I don't know because maybe I'm not visualizing anybody. But I'm praising the Lord because I have that memorial in my heart to everything that's coming back to me because it's inside of me. Do I always follow that? Absolutely not. I need to stay more engaged with Jesus Christ. There's more. Well, I got the tire off, pushed it up the hill. Woo, there's a shouting one right there, huh? Sin, you get a snowball, it rolls down the hill. Can you imagine pushing up that snowball? I'm pushing this tire up the hill. It don't look big till it gets on that side of you and you're pushing it with no air in it. It's tough. Same thing with our sin. We cannot do it by ourselves. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ, the memorial of the cross, the blood. That's what it takes to get that tire up the hill. So I get it up the hill. Took it down on the side-by-side. I said, it's getting good now, right? I plugged the air compressor into what? The main outlet. I didn't have it in something counterfeit like the generator. I had it in the main plug-in, amen? I need to be plugged into Jesus Christ, none other. 99% will not get it. It'll be 100% or none at all, amen? I put it back in the side by side, took it to the house, and I plugged the air compressor into the main outlet. We have to stay plugged into the main source, Lord Jesus Christ, not a counterfeit. Here we go. Praise the Lord. I pray it again and listen. I listened this time. I didn't just pray. What did Moses do? Stand still to see the salvation of the Lord. Amen? So much of that I have to do because I have patience of zero. And I have to continue to wait on the Lord. I have to wait on Him. So what do He tell me to do? You guys are going to like this. Lord said, go get some oil. Put it around the rim. I'm about ready to shout right here because the Holy Spirit in Scripture is the oil. Woo! Amen. Praise the Lord. Because the Holy Spirit, I had to put oil around that rim. I put air back in it and boom, it went up. Praise the Lord. You have to get oil on it. I just said, I'm just going to put a little bit because I know it's messy. I'm going to put a little bit of oil on it. And then Candy said, don't wear your new clothes outside. And I said, I'm just brush hogging. I ain't going to get dirty. Okay? I need a touch of the Master. And when I put that oil on there and it blew that tire up and I put it back in the side-by-side, and I'm not going to get dirty, praise the Lord. I took that tire and I pulled my side-by-side near my tractor so I wouldn't roll it down the hill. And I got that thing on there, and you know if the Holy Spirit's on you, it's going to rub off on somebody else, amen? It was all over me by the time I got done with that thing. All over me. Because the Holy Spirit is going to jump off you onto somebody else, just like that little kid said, Dad, how big was Jesus Christ? I don't know, 5 foot, 6 foot tall. And if you say Jesus Christ is in me, I'm only 3 foot. He should be sticking out of me somewhere, amen? We need to have Jesus Christ in us all the time, no matter what size we are, in every situation. Then I thought, you know, as I'm putting that tire back up there, and I'm getting oil all over myself, and when oil comes, all of a sudden you get dirt on you, and all of a sudden it turns into mud, and then I'm thinking, you know, it takes 6 bolts to hold that rim on there. It takes 6 bolts to hold that tire on that. And if you know about a tractor, it's one of them, the studs don't hang out. You have to put it on a little lip, about a quarter inch lip, and you're all oiled up there and you're trying to get that thing in there. You can't get it in there. You're going back to praying and you get that bolt started. It takes 6 bolts to put that thing in place. I don't know what that means. I just know it means something that I need to be engaged. I don't know 6 different ways to be in either reading, studying, praying, talking, witnessing, whatever it might be. We need to be totally plugged in to Jesus Christ. Not a counterfeit. No things that will lead you away from Jesus that will give you only 50%. Because some things will give you, you could get something out of some of this stuff. But you're not going to get the true meaning of the blood covenant. Of Jesus Christ dying for our sins. That's the memorial that I want you to listen to today. Do you have that in your heart? Again, in closing, do we have a remembrance of being born again? Can you walk down a remembrance of your life and know that you have gave your heart to the Lord? Or maybe you have gotten too close to the edge and air is going out. Like the song says, come back to the well. Or like Christ told the woman at the well, whatever it might be, Jesus is waiting on you with open arms. In doing so, you would have a memorial, a memory, been born again, knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Won't you come? Good song, Dave?